Welcome to another episode. I am your host, W-I-Z-E, and I have a very exciting guest today. I'll let him tell you what he's up to, but he's a renowned traveler. I'm just excited today. Today's a great day. I'm just excited for a great conversation. Let's welcome to the show, Colin Kingsmill. Hello?
Hey, you. Hi. Hey. I'm here. I'm good. How are you? Happy Monday.
Well. Happy Monday. So I was reading your bio earlier and it just amazed me. So your journey has taken you to numerous places and experiences. Can you share a pivotal moment or experience that significantly shaped your path?
Oh gosh, I've probably got a few of them. I think if I look at my life so far, I kind of see three chapters, you know. In the first chapter, I was my coach called it seeking fabulous, right? So I was in, you know, university in my 20s and early 30s, and I remember just ticking off all the boxes for success, right? Like I need to do this and this and this and all of the sort of standard operating procedure that you are told to have and achieve and be and do to be successful. And I really had a pivotal moment one day when I just hit a wall, and it was depression and anxiety and every other sort of negative emotion under the sun kind of stopped me in my tracks. And I don't know if you can call it a spiritual awakening or not, but whatever it was, it stopped me in my tracks. And I realized that everything that I was looking for, everything that I was seeking, all those fabulous things, meant nothing and were meaningless and weren't filling the void that I thought they would fill. Actually, I didn't even know there was a void. So that was the first one that I had. That was the kind of the big wake up call. When your body basically says no, right? And I'm sure a few of your audience members have had that too.
I'm sure people who've had. I know me personally, it's come to a point where I'm, like you said, your body tells you like enough is enough. Like switch whatever you're doing, whatever you're doing to yourself right now is not really healthy for you. And I think a lot of people have reached that point, and it's sometimes some people who don't come back from that point and they continue on that path, and it really leads to very dire consequences. So what inspired you to transition from a successful Swiss banking career to a life of purpose and fearless living?
Yeah, you know, it really was that awakening, that moment where I hit a wall. I said, I can't do this anymore. If I continue doing this, like you say, I'm going to be sick. I'm going to have a heart attack or I'm going to have a stroke, but my life is not going to last if I continue to pursue those markers of success, right? And luckily, thankfully for me, my body didn't shut down and I didn't reach that point, but I was pretty close. And it was really an awakening where I said, I've got to do something more impactful, more interesting, more connected to the things I liked. And so I moved away from Switzerland and banking and moved back to Vancouver, which I thought would be a good place to start, right? Because it's sort of healthier and West Coast lifestyle and things like that. Maybe it's not so much today these days, but anyway, at the time it was a great place to press the reset button. And I was in international real estate development for 20 years and I enjoyed it. I had a great time, but I was still feeling as though I needed something more. And then in the last few years, I really pivoted much more towards coaching and executive training and leadership training and things like that, using all that experience and really in the pursuit of serving as opposed to in the pursuit of wanting and having and getting more. That was my sort of 180 that I did involuntarily in the first step when I was in my 30s, and then much more voluntarily now that I'm in my 50s. I had kind of another awakening moment where I recognized some early childhood trauma and dug in and fixed it and sorted it out. And now I'm on this mission really to help people rediscover their humanity and live in integrity and become fearless. And ultimately that if you can kind of tick off those three boxes, you can become free. And I mean, free from psychological suffering. And like you said, I think a lot of people out there today are really suffering because we are living in this sort of crisis of meaning, I think, across, you know, both in the United States and in Canada, certainly in the West, where it's very tough out there.
Yeah. So could you give us a glimpse into your upcoming book, which is Fearless, Crossing the Bridge from Fear to Bliss, and the 8 steps of to fearless living that you talk about?
Yeah. So I've kind of consolidated the 20 years of getting it right, getting it wrong, doing it, not doing it, falling off the deep end, bankruptcy, divorce, you know, everything in between, super yachts and private jets. So I've kind of seen it all over the last 20 years. And what it's taught me is to be fearless, right? And to say yes, and to just do it without actually knowing what the consequences might be. So I've come up with really 8 steps, I think. There's probably more. Maybe I might have to expand that, but there's 8 steps to becoming fearless, or to at least point in the direction of being fearless. And the first one is to turn off the news, right? And to get informed. So that might seem like a bit of a, I don't know, a dichotomy, that you turn off the news and you get informed. But what I mean by that is, if you can stop absorbing the negativity, right, which is constantly fed to us on social media and mainstream news and things like that, you want to create a personal protection barrier around yourself. So turn off the news and get informed. And I mean, get informed by getting informed into those things that are really meaningful to yourself, right? What are the things that matter to you, to your family, to the local community, to the people around you? So that's really step one, is this personal protection barrier. Be informed, understand what it is to know what's going on in the world, sense making, understanding geopolitics and things like that, as opposed to absorbing just the news, which to me is a little bit like eating junk food, right? Like you just keep, never satisfies you. You want more. It's not particularly good for you, and you know it's wrong, but you keep going back to it. So that's really step one. The second step is listen to yourself. Listen to yourself and the way you feel, because our bodies are often telling us a story and we tend not to listen. We are living in this society where, you know, you everything's got to be in your head and you forget about the rest, right? Just to kind of get through the day. So listen to yourself. And there's great, there's great research out there about how important it is to listen to your body. And people like Gabor Mate are making huge inroads in this field of really discovering what trauma and small T trauma can do over a very long period of time. The third step, I would argue, is design the life that you want to have. And by that, I truly mean going and creating a blueprint for your life. And that could come in many different forms. It could be journaling. It could be a vision board. It could be really any tool or instrument that you can use to design the life that you want. So often we live in fear, even a subtle sort of constant undertone of fear, because we don't know what's coming next, right? And we fear the unknown. So I'm saying, turn off the news. Listen to what's going on inside of yourself and design the next chapter, design the destination that you're getting to. And I use the blueprint analogy, but you can use all sorts of analogies, like the analogy of sailing or boating or circumnavigating. You've got to put in the coordinates to where you're going. Often people today, because of everything that's going on in the world, feel very full of anxiety and angst and fear and pain and suffering. And that's partially because they don't know what's happening next. So after you've turned off the news, created your personal protection system, you're listening to what's going on in your body, design the future that you want. And then there's, you know, so often, you know, people might say, oh, well, it's easier said than done. But what a lot of people don't do is they may have the vision, you know, you might have that motivational poster up on the fridge, but they don't understand that you've got to create small baby steps along the way. So you can't just have a dream and look at it on the wall and not get there or not accomplish it or not go towards it. So there's great resources out there. Like Mel Robbins has done a great podcast on goal setting and the science behind goal setting and the best ways, the best practices to do that today. So that's really step four of designing the place that you want to get to and breaking it down into small bite-sized chunks that you can consume and also feel like you're sort of heading towards that end game, if you want that destination.
Yeah. And it's something like where I find, like when people first started learning about The Secret and they were like, manifestation and all that.
Yep.
But what they weren't doing anything. They would just put up whatever it is they wanted, but they weren't putting effort into it. They weren't putting the energy toward it. They just thought that if you had it up on the board, it was going to come true. But if you don't start applying whatever you're learning and start implementing it into making it happen, it's not going to happen. If you just think you're going to just stare at it and, oh yeah, it's going to happen. No, you have to start putting, like you said, taking the little steps towards it. You have to take the small steps towards getting to where you want to get to.
That's right. And the thing with things like The Secret or the Law of Attraction, so often you will have that goal or that destination or that thing, that place you want to get to, right? And that may seem all very positive and doable and things like that. But unfortunately, a lot of us will tell ourselves self-limiting belief stories all day long. Right. So you've got the vision board, right? You've got this, you know, the whatever you want to manifest, and you're looking at it, right? And not only do you not break it down into bite-sized pieces that you can actually attain and achieve and do, but so often we're subliminally telling ourselves, oh, you can't do that. You might not be able to do that. You'll never make that. You're not good enough. You know, these unheard stories of self-limiting beliefs get in the way. Right. So that's why my next step is really start doing daily rituals that will keep you on track. Right. So not only do you have to have the vision, right, you have to break it down into those smaller pieces, but then you've got to remind yourself every day about achieving those objectives, about achieving those goals. Right. So manifestation or becoming fearless is not a sport that you look at from the sidelines, right? You've got to get in there and you know, you've got to do things like meditation or mindfulness or yoga or daily practices or journaling. There's 100 techniques, right? But if you just have the goal up on the wall and the breakdown of the goals, and you don't practice every day putting into place this idea of the law of attraction, then, you know, other things are going to get in the way. And when other things and other people get in the way, then your manifestation, your destiny, your objectives and your goals become diluted, right? The power of manifestation and the power of visualization become eroded by those stories, right? And by not having those daily rituals to keep on track. And that's why that personal protection system is so important, because we're bombarded every day, right, with options to not stay on track, right? Social media will get in the way. Friends will get in the way. Family will get in the way. Junk food will get in the way. Addiction will get in the way. Any other coping mechanism that you want will get in the way. So you've really got to have those daily rituals. Then the next step is forgetting about what people think and forgetting about what others think. And this may sound harsh, but this is your life, right? And you have to live it in integrity and authenticity. And if you don't, you're simply dampening or suppressing who you really are. And that suppression of who you really are takes an enormous amount of energy. It has a very high cost to it. So forget about what others think. I mean, obviously, within the boundaries of the law and human decency and respect and things like that. But you've got to chart your own course. And the last point, if you want, in this process of becoming fearless, is to forget what you've learned. And by that, I don't mean forget about everything you learned in school, but forget about those things, those habits, those self-limiting beliefs, those coping mechanisms, or everything that is not serving you. So we grow up, and over time we have a whole roster of beliefs that guide us in our day-to-day and our decisions down to the minute, right? You've got to do an inventory of those beliefs and those narratives and those stories that you've got in your head. Which ones are serving you? Which ones are not? Where are they coming from? And do I need them anymore? So that's what I mean by forget about what you've learned that's not serving you. Forget about all that conditioning that is not serving you. Otherwise, you're looking at life through these opaque lenses, right? Yeah. And you don't see clearly. So I think if you can follow those eight steps and add or subtract as many as you want, that is a recipe for fearless living and a fearless life. And that's what I'm doing in my book. And ultimately, if you can restore your sense of humanity and your the way of integrity and living in integrity, becoming fearless through those eight steps, then to me, that's where you can really thrive, right? That's where you become unlimited and free from psychological suffering, because that nobody deserves to be in a place of psychological suffering. We're in a moment in time, I think, of healing, and everybody deserves that.
Yeah.
I'm rambling on, Wise.
No. I'm listening. So in your diverse career, right, you've mingled with industry titans.
Yeah.
But you've also faced personal challenges.
Yep.
How do you balance the highs and the lows of such a life?
I think the recipe there is to not have too much attachment to that moment in time, right? So, not a lot of attachment and not a lot of judgment. And that comes with mindfulness and meditation. And, you know, what I mean by that is, you may meet an incredibly successful person. If you don't judge that moment and you don't add a lot of reactivity to it and recognize that it's a moment in time in a vast lifetime of lessons and learning and experiences, that's all it is, I think, is not adding or not allowing it to be more or less than just an experience and a lesson in life. So, and I think it also helps by not labeling things, right? Like, you may consider meeting somebody or doing something as the best thing that's ever happened to you, but you don't know that. None of us do, right? And it's only with a much wider, longer time frame that you can be more wise and have greater judgment about that particular moment, right? So I really kind of contextualize it in a longer term perspective of, I'm not going to add judgment. I'm not going to be overreactive. It's kind of just this more peaceful balance, if you like, because both of those moments, whether they're great or whether you label them as terrible, they will pass, right? And something new will come along, and something else will come along to challenge you or reward you, or to bring you down or bring you up. So it's about creating that, I think, that resilience of mindfulness and non-attachment to judgment.
So many people who struggle with change and uncertainty, mm-hmm. and what like, because we talked about before, you were talking before, people are programmed, and some of them are just stuck with in that mindset. They just stuck there. They don't. I guess they for me, when I, like, I had this fear when I first wanted to start my pod, when I first started wanting to start a podcast, it was in 2019, mm-hmm. and something you mentioned, it was a lot of self-talk. It was a lot of me telling myself, oh, who's going to want to listen to you?
Yeah.
What are you going to talk about? You don't know. It was just me putting mm-hmm. fear and doubt into myself until I finally said, you know what? One day I'm sitting here with my nephew and I just decided to record. And 7 minutes, it was just an introduction, but I took it and he was like, no, we can't release that. We can't release that. I said, no, we have to release it. Like, because he was talking about we had to wait till it was perfect. I'm like, we're going to wait forever.
right. That wait till perfect, get out of jail free card, right? Oh, what a way. That it's just such a waste of time, isn't it? That waiting for perfection.
Yeah.
There's so many examples of people that entrepreneurs and scientists and explorers that never waited for perfect, and yet they changed our world, right? And you said it perfectly. You said people are in this mindset, right? And that's why what I'm saying is, get out of your mind, right? And into your heart, and just like you said, the only thing that was holding you back were stories in your head, right? So my question is, do you want to listen to them or not, right? Because that's all they are stories and thoughts, and they will dissipate as quickly as they came in, and your mind is the only thing that's giving them value or time or energy or anything, right?
Yeah.
Get out of there.
Absolutely, yeah. I know it was, because that's what it was for me. Like, again, it's self-talk. Is this,
yeah.
Some of us, when we talk to ourselves, we say some of them, we can be the most cruelest people to ourselves. We'll say some of the most horrible things to ourselves and not realize that we're saying it. Like, and people don't realize that this is really affecting you. These are why you're going through the struggles that you're going, because if you're not talking good to yourself, how do you expect anyone else to talk to you?
Exactly. And there isn't a school of life that reminds you to get out of your mind, right? Mm-hmm. Get out of your head. Certainly, more Eastern traditions like Buddhism and things like that are that it, those things are taught and learned. But in our modern Western culture, you know, you're just told to, you know, take another anti-anxiety, you know, pill or have a glass of wine, or, you know, pick your coping mechanism. There's so many out there, right? Mm-hmm. But all those are coping mechanisms to keep you from the real story. And I think all of us have a pretty cool story to tell and to be and to live. So why not live it, you know?
Yeah. So can you tell us about your work as a board advisor to Alma de Samana and how it aligns with your mission of bringing humanity back to real estate?
Yeah, no, boy, that's a good one, because actually that project is one of the most interesting projects I've worked on in 20 years. And the reason it's interesting is because the origin story, or the heart and the soul of that project is on a storied land, a storied place that was given to African-American slaves that were freed 200 years ago. So you have this place of incredible history, right? A very storied place, a sacred place, some might argue, that has recently been sold to modern African-Americans out of the U.S. And what they want to create, and Alma means the soul, right? And Samana is the peninsula. So they are creating a humanity-centric, humanity-driven destination, right? Where it's inclusive, not exclusive, right? It's not gated. It's about community. It's about the locals. It's about farm-to-table cuisine. It's about health and well-being and wellness and sports. And the whole promise is more of a movement in reclaiming destiny and reclaiming humanity and dancing with the universe. So there's not many people out there that are doing this kind of work. And Alma de Samana is one of them. And, you know, they're working on a film festival. They're working on creating a forum, which is the antithesis of the World Economic Forum in Davos. And it's all about local to global. You know, how can local work impact the global economy or the global world? So to me, those are the kinds of projects that I still love to do. You know, that they're human driven, they're human centric, they're all about, you know, creating a stage, right? A stage for people and families and friends to reconnect. And I think in a world post-pandemic, those kinds of things are very important. And, you know, big or small, I mean, I'm doing a real estate project much closer to home. It's actually a 3-minute walk away, nothing on the magnitude of the one in the Dominican Republic. But again, it's community-based, it's community-driven. It's about all walks of life, you know, coming together and living and working in shared spaces, right?
Yeah.
Community rooms, community conference rooms, Zoom rooms, tool library, bike rooms, car wash, dog wash, common, you know, barbecue pits, fire pits, all of these things that, you know, are the antithesis to the individualization that our society has become, the individualization that has permeated our society with the likes of social media, right? Where we're all sort of community focused, but in a virtual online way. So
yeah. No, yeah,
bring it back.
Yeah, no, it's something that's something me and my nephew, me and we say we are the village, and we're trying to bring back communities. That's what our goal is, to build a community where people can just thrive and be themselves and not have to be in a place where they're being judged. And that's what we're about. That's what we're thriving for. That's our goal, is to build that community. And it means so much to us, because growing up, we grew up a part of a community.
Right.
And to no longer have that, it's
essential that we go back to that, don't you think? I mean, we're living in a world of you know, an epidemic of loneliness,
mm-hmm.
right? And all of the mental health and health data out of the United States and Canada, for that matter, and the UK, other Western nations, is alarming, right? And I think it's alarming because we've lost that human connection. And that's why my mission is all about, the first step is rediscover your humanity. If we all lived and remembered that we're all humans, one species, one lineage, one origin story on this little rock, right, that's spinning around the galaxy, I think things would be different, right? I think our food would be different, the education would be different, politics might be different, the wars might be different. Like, I think everything would be different if we remembered that there's a human being on the other side over there. And the last 20 years has allowed us to be less human than I think we could be or should be.
No, yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, me and my nephew speak on this all the time. And for us, is like growing up, we would go during the summer every Sunday from April through September. Mm. Every Sunday we went, the community had a softball team, and we used to go to the park and watch them play and run around in the park, barbecue.
Yeah.
4th of July week, we would, there would be like two buses full of people going to a lake that was a couple, like maybe an hour and a half away, and barbecuing. And it was a different time where you actually had people interacting and building and growing, and we've been driven so far away from that.
Yes, exactly. And that's why I'm saying, let's get it back. Bring it back. Bring back humanity. Bring back community. Bring back connection. You know, I live in a very small town up here in Canada, and there's a magic to this place about community and people taking care of each other. And if somebody's in need, that everybody, you know, goes and helps. And it's like nothing I've ever seen before. So I'm pretty confident that we are at a point in our lives, or in society in general, it feels like there's an awakening. It feels like people are going, hold on, I want that connection again. I need that connection again, because, and I think the statistics on health and mental health and dis-ease are all pointing in that direction of there's something wrong. This ain't right. You know, we need to fix something. And that's why I'm on this mission.
Awesome. And it really is something that's really important to me and my nephew. We just talk about it all the time, how families are, like, even within families that for us, we grew up, he's my nephew, but he grew up more as my brother, because we're so close in age. And just the connections that we no longer have, like his son he lives in New York, and families are now so spread apart, and it's like our ultimate goal is to just build the community where we can.
Hallelujah.
It really is sad to see that. Honestly, I probably know one of my neighbors, and that's because we say hi to each other when we see each other. But other than that, there's no sense of community.
Well, I mean, look, we've spent the last 20 years going online, right? And purporting to find community there. But and to some degree it is. I mean, there's incredible benefits of being able to be connected to people around the world and across the world, and you know, I think the art of podcasting and the art of independent media is allowing for that connection. So I'm really positive. I'm very optimistic about where things are going, notwithstanding the year that we're going to have. I think it might be a little bit crazy for obvious reasons, but I'm optimistic.
It's it's funny times are coming, but I'm more focused. I feel like I'm more focused this year, going through what I went through in 2023, personally, and with the podcast. Like it was a year where I had the ultimate high with the success of the podcast, and the ultimate low with personal things, with my mom being sick and my aunt passing away, and not being, and so I've come into the conclusion now that for 2024, yes, it's some bad stuff going on with my mom, and just But I got to look at it as I'm doing something that's helping and impacting people.
Yeah.
And my podcast is helping people, guide them through whatever struggles they're going through. And I know she's proud of what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And so to know that I'm continuing with what I'm doing, with my purpose driven life, with wanting right. to help people. And that's why we're talking today is yeah. because we want to make that impact. We want to have,
that's right.
if it's one person viewing us or 10 people viewing, whatever it is, we're doing what we're supposed to do.
I'm completely there with you. I believe in the ripple effect, right? Mm-hmm. That you know, you don't have to go around the world and work for the Red Cross. You can make significant impact to your family, to your community, to the world by starting with yourself and doing, like you said, those small things, you know, doing a podcast, one person at a time. I'm the same as you. I'm like, if we can convert one person at a time to reclaim their humanity and reclaim their destiny and live in integrity and be free and be happy and fearless, then my job is done, you know?
Yeah.
I don't need any recognition. I don't need to get a Nobel Peace Prize, but one person at a time, I think is, that's it. That's how we change the world.
It's those, the one comment, there's one comment where, and when I get those comments, it's like, okay, all right. So I got to continue, because if someone is benefiting from what we're doing and from me doing my podcast and from my guests coming on and telling their stories and people hear, because I've had even friends reach out to me and tell me, thank you. Needed mm-hmm. to hear that episode. And that's
yeah.
And so
I think we don't realize how much suffering there is out there. We live in very, very complex times. It's incredibly difficult out there for most people, and there's a lot that's broken. So we I think we have an opportunity and obligation to make it right.
Yeah.
So congratulations. Well done.
Thank you.
Let's change the world, my friend.
Oh, that is my goal. That is definitely and it's like you said, the internet and everything has its pros and cons. Like had we not had this conversation wouldn't have been happening. Some of the other connections that I've made worldwide. I've connected with people all over the world. Had conversations with people all over the world, and we're all different. But after having a conversation with so many people, you start to realize that we're all the same in a way. We all want the same things.
And to be able
to speak to someone in Hong Kong or speak to someone in India, and then after having the conversation, you're realizing they're just like me.
Yes. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
I mean, that's beautiful, right? Mm-hmm. And we live in a society in a time where there's so much division, right? Mm-hmm. There, even with things like gender or like, it's gotten so divisive.
Yeah.
And I find that so destructive. And it's time to unite. I completely agree, because there's more that connects us and bonds us than separates us. Other, you know, and if anybody wants to tell me otherwise, I just disagree.
that's how they control the masses, is by having them divided.
And yeah.
So
yeah.
In order
stick together.
And, yeah, and yeah, when the people finally decide to stick together, you see that shift. But. Yeah. Until then, people like us got to continue to put the message out there.
Absolutely. Well, we're on a mission, right? So next, where's your nephew? We should do a podcast with him next time. He sounds like an important character in your life.
Listen, my nephew, he has an amazing story himself. He did serve like almost 10 years in prison, came out, turned his life around, started a business, has a property maintenance company. He's the one who got me into doing my podcast.
There you go.
We published his, he's had two books published, but the second one we really invested in and getting someone to really go over the book and really help us. And we self-published his book. So it was
beautiful,
amazing thing with that. And it felt good for me to be able to help him make that happen. He's definitely has had a major impact on what I'm doing, and I'm just blessed to be able to have him take this journey with me.
No, that's amazing. Well, I'd love to meet him. We should organize another chat one day, and we can see where that goes.
Anyway, just have you come on and chop it up on our show.
Let's do it anytime you want. I'm up for that. I love.
We've never had a guest on our show. But I can see we could definitely make it happen.
Anyway, it's just an idea.
Oh no, we can definitely. We've actually wanted to shift the focus of the show more towards authenticity and more towards, because the show, we've been more featured, more talking about current events and sports and entertainment and what's going on.
Right.
But he really, really wants to get more into talking about life and talking more about developing yourself and that stuff. So we can definitely have you on maybe. Yeah. So yeah, I'm going to talk to him and, I'll definitely get back to you soon.
We planted the seed, so there you go.
We're definitely gonna make it happen. But now, Colin, it's the time of the show where you get the solo screen, plug away, let everybody know where they can find you, everything.
Oh yeah. So I mean, you can find me at ColinKingsmill.com or at WholeHumanCoaching.com, and I'm also on Instagram and LinkedIn. So I think if you just type in my name, you really can't miss me. So I don't need to promote anything other than my mission.
The book.
Humanity, Integrity, Fearless, and Freedom.
Share the title of the book once again.
Oh, From Fear to Bliss, 8 Steps. That's it.
All right. See,
Crossing the bridge from fear to bliss. Fearless.
It's in the description. So everybody definitely go.
Thank you.
Now go to Amazon or wherever it's at and get the book. And thank you, man. I greatly appreciate you being on the show.
Hey, appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Whereabouts are you in the world?
I'm in Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay. So, gosh, we're close by.
I'm in the mountains in Pennsylvania.
Oh, beautiful. I'm just up the coast then in Nova Scotia. We're not far from each other.
Yeah, no. I moved from Brooklyn, New York. I now live in the mountains. It's peaceful. Nice.
Beautiful.
I needed to get away from the rest of the
yeah.
The craziness of the city. So
yeah, it was I hear you. Yeah. I live in a town with 1,000 people, so I'm right there with you. I appreciate it. So really do.
Oh yeah, it's so much more quiet and. I love the fact that I don't have to hear sirens all day.
Yeah.
And don't have to hear people all day. And
it's a good thing.
Yes. Nice and peaceful. But
my friend, I really appreciate it. Thank you for having me on and we'll speak soon and stay in touch.
Yes. Don't leave just yet.
Just
don't leave just yet. Let me close out the show. We'll exchange a couple of words after the show, and then I'll let you can head out. But thank you once again, man. I really appreciate
you being on the show. Good to chat with you.
All right, awesome show, everybody. Everybody who's tuned in live, greatly appreciate it. If you catch the replay, thank you for tuning in. It's been a great episode. As always, big shout out to my Real Wise fam, Poppy J, Brandy J. Love you guys. Big shout out to the Boss Lady. Appreciate and love you, baby. And as always, And oh, before I forget, shout out to, big shout out to Colin for coming through and sharing his story, and oh man, wonderful conversation. And as always, a big, big shout out to all the essential workers out there. God bless you. Be safe. You know how your boy Wise does it. Peace out.